Certainly the head of my life, me and mine, recognizing my pulpit associates, Minister Riley, Reverend McMillan, my lovely wife, musician, my beautiful, beautiful church family. It's an honor, a privilege, and as always, an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to stand before you and profess the Word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Take charge, Lord. Take charge, Holy Ghost. Take control of this vessel.
Yes, God.
This empty pitcher that comes before a full fountain. Take complete control of me, Lord, and do with me what you wish. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord, as I submit to you. Use me, Lord. Use my mouth to say a word, Lord. For someone needs to hear from you, Lord, use me. Have your way, Lord.
Yes.
Have your way.
Yes.
Take control of this entire service, Lord God.
Yes, my God.
Everyone that's in the congregation, everyone in the pulpit, take control right now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes,
and
Lord. Thank you.
Create an atmosphere.
Yes, my God. Have your way, Holy Ghost.
Create an atmosphere right now, Lord, that we can hear what you have to say.
Yes, yes.
Create an atmosphere where we can do what you tell us to do.
Yes.
Create an atmosphere where you can control and direct and guide us where you would have us go. Take charge, Lord.
Take charge.
We present ourselves to you.
Yes, we do, Father.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. It's kind of uncanny the way my daughter stays on the same page with me. The bulletin. We'll be talking about prayer this morning, and she, I get with her with the announcements and whatnot, but I certainly don't tell her what to put the little cutesy in the middle. Tends to stay right on track. And to God be the glory. This morning, you had read for you a couple of scriptures, and I want to just go over a couple of verses out of those two scriptures, and then I will add to it as we seek the Lord to speak to us this morning. When you look back in your Bibles and the Old Testament at 2 Chronicles 7, I just want to read two verses out of there, chapter 7. I'm going to read verse 1 and verse 14. Verse 1 says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple.
Uh-huh.
And verse 14 says, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land.
All right.
If my people, and many theologians will talk about that and say, he, of course, God was talking to Israel. But if you look over on, and I'm not going to go there, but I think it's chapter 6, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 32 will make it plain to you that God speaks not only to the Israelites, but he speaks to us as well. So if you want to make a note of that, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 32. Mm-hmm. And then if you would just turn your Bibles to Matthew. Chapter 7. Now I just want to read one verse from that. That's chapter 7, verse 7. It says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened." Ask, seek, and knock. And then I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 12. As long as I stay in the scripture, I can't go wrong.
That's right. It's true.
Chapter 12 and verse 5. It says, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." And I'm going to stop right there, and we're going to certainly get back into that chapter 12. But I want to offer as a theme this morning something to guide us. A very simple thing, one that everybody's heard, that prayer changes things. Mm-hmm. Anybody believe that? Mm-hmm. That prayer changes things. When I was studying, I started out and we were talking about mountains, the mountains in your life, and that's where my mind was at. But then God gave me the reverse of that. He had me thinking about mountains and valleys. And you hear people often talk about that as things that they're going through, that the mountains in their lives and the valleys in their lives.
Yes.
And I thought about that, and you know, I looked at the mountains and I said, well, mountains always have, it's a difference, it's a matter of perspective with a mountain. That a mountain is only intimidating when it stands in front of you. If you stand on top of the mountain, it actually gives you a pretty good viewpoint. So, but a valley is a bit different. About the only bright part of a valley is that if you're way away from the mountains in your life, and it just seems that you're on level ground. Because otherwise, if you stand in that valley and all you can see is mountains,
all right there,
becomes somewhat intimidating.
Yeah. Yes.
But whichever way you choose to go, whether it's the mountains in your life or the valleys in your life, is there are situations or circumstances that seem either so high or so low that you can't climb out of it or climb over it.
Yes.
Or it's so wide that you can't get around it. Or tunnel through. Somebody might be there this morning. That, if not, I'm sure everybody has either been there, or you can stay on that valley with the mountain way off, but I guarantee you at some point it's going to come in your life where you're going to need God to get out of whatever you are.
Yes.
It could be a sickness. It doesn't necessarily have to be you. It could be a loved one that you're close to, and your loved one is going through something, and that just gets in your heart. Sometimes I think it's worse when it's a loved one than when it's you. You can You feel like you can handle it, but
yes, yes.
Don't you want to say, why, God, why this person, Lord, that, yes. The sweetest person, why couldn't it be me?
Yeah.
And it may even be the loss of a job. You know, you can go into depression sometimes if you stay out of work long enough. Or it might just be that you got something on your mind and you're worried about something.
Yes, yes.
Worry will drive you crazy. You know, worry. Mm-hmm. See, what worry you do, sometimes you start worrying. I'm talking about me now. You start worrying about something and after a while you start worrying because you forgot what you was worrying about, so you're worrying about what you forgot about.
That's all right. It's all right then.
That's what worry just fills your head. It just makes stuff all out of sorts.
Yes.
But a valley or a mountain could be just anything that's too great for you to handle. You know, you old people used to, I'm one of them now.
Used to. You haven't quite
got it yet. Till my bones got. But one of the favorite phrases that I like is, they'll tell you that sometimes you make mountains out of molehills. Mm-hmm. You're worried about nothing. That thing that you're describing, that problem, it's just,
yes.
You're just making a mountain out of a molehill.
Yes.
But it's hard to tell somebody that because, see, you don't know what I'm going through or why I'm going through.
Come on, man. Mm-hmm. That's all right.
So if I perceive it as a mountain or a valley, then it's a mountain or a valley to me.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, that's my perception.
When we look at that Old Testament scripture, you have to understand that the context is in that Solomon, God is appearing to Solomon.
Uh-huh.
And when he appears to Solomon in the scripture we had, you need to note that it's after Solomon had built the temple and after Solomon had built his own palace.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
You see that first scripture, it tries to warn us, you see, because sometimes it's not when we're so far down that the mountain creeps in or the valley creeps
come
in.
Come out here. Mm-hmm.
It's when we're up.
Yes.
Yes.
You see, our blessings are sometimes getting our way. So God knew he needed to come to Solomon. He said, because right now you need to be reminded because you feel like you've done something now.
Talk to us.
Mm-hmm. You feel like you accomplished something when you built up your palace and built up a temple to God. So he's just giving them a warning.
Yes.
But he tells them, he gives them a way out of it. He said, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, no matter what you're going through.
Yes.
No matter how overwhelming it may seem, if you would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Hallelujah. And then over there in Matthew, he speaks again on prayer. In the New Testament, he said, ask, and it will be given to you.
Mm-hmm.
Seek,
mm-hmm.
and you will find. Mm-hmm. And to knock, and it will be open to you. Hallelujah.
Let's go.
You know, it's something funny about prayer. Mm-hmm. when you start to pray, if God don't come right away,
yes, sir.
Sometimes we get all twisted and tangled because God didn't come. I gave him a week.
Yes. Where are you? When you coming?
I prayed for 7 days straight. Mm. And God still didn't show up. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes he'll show up.
Come on here. Mm-hmm.
But it didn't show up the way that I thought he should.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Hallelujah. You know, when I was studying, I read a cute little story. It says I was a little boy, and he wanted $100 real bad because he wanted something he wanted to buy. So he wanted $100 real bad, and he prayed. And he prayed, and he didn't get that $100. Mm. So he decided that he would write a letter to God. Mm. So he wrote a letter to God asking for that $100, and he didn't know of any address, so he just wrote, God, comma, USA. And then they say that the mailman, the post office, when they got that letter, they said, God, USA, so they didn't know anybody the character, so they gave it to the president. And said, so the president looked at the letter, and he was moved by the letter. And so he said, just to encourage the little fella, he's going to send him something. So he sent him $5 just to encourage him. And he said the little fella got the $5, and as soon as he got it, he started pinning another letter. And he wrote another letter and he sent it to God. He said, Lord, I know you heard my cry. I know you heard my cry for $100. He said, but however, the mailman sent it through Washington. And they took $95 tax out of it. But see the moral of his story, when I got out of that story, what that story told me, he said, the one thing that little boy did that we have trouble with.
Come on here.
He said, I know that God didn't make a mistake.
That's right.
He said, I prayed to God, and though I got something different,
yes.
He said, if that was a mix-up on it, a mess-up, it had to be man that messed it up.
That's right. That's all right.
If we could think like that little boy, that God loves me, and if I pray to God, if I pray to him earnestly,
yes, yes,
then God will hear my prayer. Mm-hmm. But see, this morning, we want to just explore some things. We want to explore why our prayers are not changing some of our situations. But in order for us to effectively utilize prayer, to get out of our mountain or our valley experience, you know, when you need a way out of no way?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes the problem is that you really don't understand prayer. So what we want to do this morning is to talk about some of the notable attributes of prayer, or effective prayer, prayer that can get through. Number one, prayer is the means by which God gets his will done. You better write that down. Because, see, we forget that. Mm-hmm. Prayer is the means by which God gets his will done on earth, not the means by which man gets his will done in heaven. Mm-hmm. See, what prayer does, prayer allows us to see things through the eyes of God. I want y'all to understand that. prayer. See, when we looked over there, that verse in Acts at chapter 12, the very first verse in that chapter says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." See, what I want you to see with God's will, see, too many times we want to make God's will, you know, we want to change his will to fit what we want it to fit.
Yes, yes.
But we got to understand that God's will be done on earth.
Yes.
And if you don't understand God's will, then you should pray that God will give you an understanding of his will. I want you just to understand that. Stay with us this morning. Prayer. Number two, another attribute of prayer. Prayer sometimes has to change us.
Yes, yes.
Once prayer changes us, then perhaps we can change things.
Yeah.
I can do all things through Christ. The sixth verse of Acts 12 says, "And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison." I just want you to see something here. See, when prayer changes things. You see, Peter, they tell me they locked Peter up. They had a whole bunch of soldiers that had Peter in bonds. It used to be just one soldier, but they had Peter on heavy lockdown. But it says Peter was sleeping. I want y'all to pick up on that.
Now,
that
Peter was sleeping.
Peter was sleeping comfortably. Peter was not concerned. Peter was not worried because Peter had prayed long enough that Peter was in the right place with God. That prayer was changing Peter. Stay with me. Oswald puts it this way. He said, "To say that prayer changes things is not as close to the truth as saying prayer changes me and then I change things." God has established things so that prayer, on the basis of redemption, changes the way a person looks at things.
Yes.
Prayer may not be a matter of changing things externally, but one of working miracles in a person's inner nature.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And number three, another attribute of prayer. When every other gate is shut and locked, the gate to heaven is wide open. We must take advantage of the open gate by prayer. Three attributes of prayer. I want you to, as we go through, I want you just to keep those three attributes of prayer. It's the way that God gets things done on earth. It changes us. And it's what we do when every other gate is closed and locked. In other words, what the Word is trying to get us to see this morning is that when you got something that's bigger than you, let God fix it. Songwriter says, just let Jesus fix it for you. Because he knows
just what
to do. Whenever you pray, just let him have his way. Have you ever prayed at night or have something on your mind and pray and stay there until you can feel God's presence?
Yes.
Don't tell me no tale.
Because too many times we get on our knees and we gotta set time and we gotta get on our knees and get off our knees. We can't stay on our knees for so long. And we got a set pattern that we go through. Most of us, when we get on our knees, we don't go down and find out what the Lord would have us to pray about. We go down with our list already in hand. But when you pray, let him have his way. Particularly when you're praying about something that's one of those hard things, one of those things that you can't see your way out. Let God have his way. And he'll fix it for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you let go and let God.
Yeah.
So when God does not answer us and how and when we want to be answered, just keep on praying. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. When God does not answer you right away, look at yourself and see if it's something wrong with me. Why is God not hearing me? Why is God not paying me any attention?
Yes.
John 15:7 says it like this. It says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done. And I want you to make sure you understand that word abide. It means remain.
Yes.
If you just stay in God's care, stay in God's ways, and if you stay right there, then when you pray, God will hear you.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do I want God to answer my prayer? Or do I want God to answer my prayer my way? Think about that for a minute. See, when we go on our knees, if we are where God would have us to be, we can expect what we pray. We can expect it through no power of our own. And we can expect it right now. I want to show you something about the power of prayer. I'm going to be real short this morning. Somebody said it's too late. But I want you just to see something about the power of prayer. Because prayer would change things. If you can believe,
God,
then you can receive.
Yeah.
But prayer takes serious, serious faith. The problem is most of the time when we go down on our knees asking God for something, half of us really never even expect
it.
We go down just wanting God to soften it up a little bit because this matter that's bothering me, God can't handle it. It would be too much. There's no way that we can get out of this. So I want to just give you an example of the power of prayer. When we look at Acts 12:5, it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers and bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison.
Yes.
But the angel of God came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. You better know that you can't keep prayer out. The prayer can go anywhere, the prayer can do anything. And the angel smote Peter on the side and raised him up and saying, arise,
arise
quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. I want y'all to pray with me. Just see the power of prayer. The chains fell off of his hands. The power of prayer. And the angel said to him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thou garment about thee and follow me. Prayer. I want y'all to think. I want y'all to get right where prayer can go. Because if you don't, you won't see the power of prayer. You won't understand what Almighty God can do in those situations where you can't see your way out, when you think that there is no way out, but God can make a way out of no way.
Yes, he can.
And he went out and he followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. It tells me that Peter didn't even know. He said, I don't even know if all that God is doing right now is true. Maybe I'm seeing a vision.
Come on here. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto an iron gate. You got blocked where you look like you can't go no further. But they came unto an iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened up a bimba up its own accord. Good God Almighty. I know back then they didn't have, but I said maybe they had a motion detector on it. Because when they approached the gate, they tell me that it opened up all by itself. Can you see where we're talking about the power of prayer? Because if you can't get there, you can't get anything from God, because your faith is too weak to see that God Almighty can do what you can't see. How he did. He can make a way out of no way. But can you believe that God can do what you can't imagine?
Yes, sir.
Can you believe that God can heal?
Yes, sir.
God can make the lame walk.
Yes.
God can raise the dead. But can you believe it?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Come on, man.
It's going to challenge somebody.
Because
somebody been calling themselves praying. But they haven't been expecting anything from God. But when you pray and see that God Almighty can do anything.
Yes, sir.
Tell me that the gates flew open of their own accord.
Yes.
And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the Jews. Have you ever felt God's hand on you? Somebody needs to hear what I got to say right now.
Yes.
Because somebody needs to get on their knees tonight. Somebody has been on their knees and they've been praying and praying.
Yes, sir.
But they have not been believing that God can come through.
Yes, sir, God.
Somebody needs to hear me this morning. Somebody needs to go down on their knees, and somebody needs to stay there. And maybe you need to tell God first, God, I need you to change me first. Because I'm having trouble seeing how you're going to do what you say you're going to do. I'm having trouble seeing how you're going to do it, Lord, because I've got education. I've gone through some things, and I know how things work, Lord. And I don't see how you're going to get me from point A to point B, Lord. So you need to work on me so I can see, so I can believe, so I can pray. You ask God to work on you. And when he works on you, then you start seeking. Get back on your knees and start seeking. Say, Lord, I understand now that you can do it. And I'm going to keep seeking. I'm going to keep seeking until you do it. And then knock. Hallelujah.
Right now.
And then knock.
Knock.
You know how you used to do in the day? You won't do it now. You're afraid to do it now. You know how you used to do in the day? You'd knock on the door. And if nobody came, you'd knock a little louder.
Yes.
You don't do that now. But what they're telling us is to continue knocking. If God has heard you, you're doing things God's way, just keep right on knocking on the door. Mm-hmm. Keep right on knocking on the door, and God will hear your cry. Ask, seek, and knock. And God will make a way. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Does anybody need to hear from God? Anybody going through something this morning? All you got to do is call on that. He promised you. He didn't put any other stipulations in there. He said if you ask, seek, and knock, he'll come through for you. If you can believe it,
yes,
you can receive it.
Yes. Yes.
If you can believe it, you can receive it.
Yes.
Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Even if it's just you.
Yes.
Prayer changes things.